distractions, competing priorities. And his message that he gives to the church in Ephesus was not about self-improvement projects. Rather, it was about spirit-filled living. With that in mind, let's look at our scripture, which is on the screen for you as well, or you may follow along in your Bibles. We're going from the ESV this morning. It says this: "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Here ends our reading this morning. Thanks be to God for His wonderful and His perfect Word. Friends, there's a lot of things that are very dangerous. And it's not just overeating, it's not the overspending, but it's overfilling our lives with all of the things. Filling it with everything except for God. I know so many people in this world that have schedules that are chock full of things, but their souls are empty. So today, I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to challenge myself as well. And this is kind of the title of my message this morning. It's if there's this is your big idea, your sermon in a sentence, however you want to put it, okay, is that we need to be filled with the Spirit, not stuffed with self. Filled with the Spirit, not stuffed with self. Once again, we are in the calm of the holiday hurricane. And this new year, we have a choice as we enter 2026. We can keep stuffing ourselves with more food, with more football, with more plans, more things, or we can seek to be filled with the Spirit. Well, Mike, you've given us a lot to think about, but how then do we practically take this on? Well, as a good reformed sermon has, how many should I have for you? Three. We got 3 points. Don't worry. We got 3 ways. We'll look at the first way that Paul recommends the wisdom. Is that the first one, point number one, is that we measure our minutes, not our menu. Measure your minutes, not your menu. Okay. So we actually don't have a calm in our family, in the Holloman family, because we decided to have a tax deduction baby. Okay. Our oldest is 16 and we celebrated him yesterday. And so we went to Hoo-Hot. I love Hoo-Hot. But what's the problem with Hoo-Hot? No! The bowls! The bowls are so small! And then they give you this little like sign that says, "Well, as to be kind to our cooks, please only bring one bowl up at a time." Well, you don't get enough stuff! And what do they put in the front? They put the noodles in. Let's be honest. Am I going to fill it with noodles or am I going to fill it with meat? I'm Dutch. I know what's more expensive. Filling it with the meat. Or maybe you're thinking about your New Year's Eve, you're thinking about all those appetizers that are going to be out. And if you are what I would call an enlightened person, you do not use actual tableware for that, correct? You get some kind of plate. That's paper. And what kind of paper plates should you get? Chinette. Why? Because chinette is the Texas of paper plates. They're huge, they're thick, you can get all of the things that you want on it. And yet, when I have a Texas of paper plates, if I have a chinette plate, I'm still like, how can I make a skyscraper out of my mashed potatoes so that I can get more on this plate? And if I angle the bonbons just this right, then I can get this on and that, and I want to make sure that I still have room for pie and ice cream. Okay. We maximize space, correct? Because we know that it's limited. So we also sometimes do that with our own lives. We try to maximize our time, but unfortunately, so many times we're stuffing so many things on it that we're just shoveling the stuff in and we don't actually get to enjoy it. We don't taste the food. We don't actually experience the joy of community. We sit in church, and trust me, I got five kids. I know it. I've been a pastor. I know it. And let's be honest, sometimes we might be at church. You might be sitting here this morning and you're thinking, I've got this to do, and I've got that to do, and I've got that to do. We're measuring the menu of things that we need to do. But what did Paul say? In our scripture this morning, he said, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are what? Evil. That's interesting. Making the best use of the time. The phrase there in the Greek is, it carries this idea of buying up every opportunity. Grabbing the best deal before it's gone. So think 2020 when you found toilet paper, correct? You grabbed it, you seized it, and you held on to it, okay? Time is so precious. Why? Because it is passing. It is the one thing in this world that we cannot stockpile. You can't create more of it. And somebody who is telling you that they can give you or create you more time is absolutely selling you something. Okay? You cannot create more time. We get the same amount. You get the same 60 seconds that I get in a minute. We get the same number of minutes in an hour. We get the same number of hours in the day. We can't stockpile it. We can't earn more of it. Why? Because every moment, every minute is a gift from God. So here's the contrast. We need to measure our minutes, not our menu, whatever that looks like. At a New Year's party or whatever, you might obsess over what's on the plate, but Paul tells us to obsess over how we walk. Because let's be honest, our plate is going to be empty in a matter of minutes. Whether it goes into our tummies or it goes into the trash. But the choices that we make are going to echo into eternity. David tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, teach us to number our days so that I might gain a heart of wisdom. That's not a calendar excuse, okay? It's a call to stewardship. Our time belongs to God. When pastors often preach, and I'm sure Ryan at some point has preached on stewardship, what do they often talk about the three T's of stewardship? Time, talents, and treasures. The first one is what? Time. Time is something that we steward as well. So when we waste time, we're not just being careless, but we're ignoring the one who gave it to us. He's sovereign over every second. So then how do we practically measure our minutes? Maybe you're one of those first people that sets goals, and that's great. But before you set those fitness goals, before you set your financial goals, maybe you ask, how will I steward my time for God's glory this year? Maybe we put down our cell phones and we have a real conversation. Maybe we don't let, and well, I'm in a different situation, friends, because my Lions just got eliminated on Christmas. That was a piece of coal for Christmas. But don't let football or binge watching your Netflix or whatever that is steal those moments for family and faith. Don't let those steal those. And use this season as a chance to speak grace, share gratitude, and reflect Christ. Measure your minutes, not your menu. Okay? Measure your minutes, not your menu. So friends, be sure that our first thing is to measure our minutes. The second step is actually more important. Okay? It's deciding who or what is going to sit at the center of your life. Because something is always going to be at the center. Whether it is comfort, whether it is convenience, or maybe you're some of those people that thrive around conflict. Okay? Paul tells us what belongs there. What belongs there? Christ belongs at the center. That's point number two. Keep Christ at the center. Paul continues in verse 20 of our scripture this morning. He says, giving thanks always and everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. New Year's is often a time where we center everything around ourselves. It's about me, my health, my success, my happiness, my goals, my resolutions, my return that I need to make. Okay? But resolutions can turn into what? Self-improvement projects that leave Christ out of the picture. I love what we had to say in our children's message this morning. Because I can try to be a better listener, right? But often I need Christ to be a better listener. I can try to live a more sanctified life. But if I am trying under my own power, if I'm trying to do it by myself, it's just not possible. If I am trying to produce spiritual fruit, I can't just be like, spiritual fruit. It doesn't happen, correct? I love Galatians 5:22-23. It's actually in the NLT, New Living Translation, where it says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gratefulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. He will produce it in our lives. But that's when we get Christ at the center. Paul reminds us that gratitude and worship belong at the center of our lives, not our comfort and not our convenience and not our calories. Okay? As the old hymn says, and Barbara and the worship team, they just bent over backwards to make sure that we had this song in there. I just asked, and she said, "Oh, sure." We're going to sing later this morning. We're going to sing "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Such a wonderful hymn. But what does the refrain say? "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. When we focus on Christ, the rest of the things get very blurry. In the light of His glory, in the light of His grace." There was a young boy who picked 5 smooth stones out of a river, out of a stream. And he went and faced Goliath. All of the seasoned soldiers looked at him and they said, "Boy, he is so big, I'm never going to be able to defeat him." And David, the young boy, said, "Boy, that guy's such a big target, I won't miss." Correct? It's all in our perspective. Because if Christ isn't at the center, something is going to be there. Your career, your comfort, your convenience. And all of those, if we continue to focus on them, they will crush us. But Christ is there to bring calm. Okay? The shorter catechism from Westminster. I know it's not a CRC catechism, but it's definitely from the Reformed group. Okay? It's theologically sound. It's a little bit like the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism in importance for them. Okay? Or at least I would say that. The question that is asked is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is this: to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What's our chief end? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. It's not just theology, but it's a strategy. Because gratitude flows, not because our lives are perfect, but because God is who He says He is. Because Christ is at the center. That's how gratitude flows. Before we make our resolutions about our waistline, our wallet, or our any other resolution, friends, Christ will be the center of my life. Make that resolution. Christ will be at the center of my life. Not my plans, not my preferences, Him. Okay, how do I do that practically? Maybe we begin every day with thanksgiving. Okay? I once heard it said that if we woke up this morning and only kept the things that we thanked God for the day before, we'd be not having very many things. Filter this resolution filter every resolution through this question. Is this glorifying to Christ? Is this glorifying to Christ? And make prayer and worship the foundation of the calendar, not just an afterthought. Okay? Make it the flower, not the icing of your cake. Make it the main part. Okay? So we're measuring our minutes, not our menu. We're putting Christ at the center, and then there's one more step. It's not about me, it's about we. Okay? Because Spirit-filled living is not meant to be a solo project. It's something we do together. So we need to lift one another up. That's number 3, lift one another up. Paul closes with these beautiful words, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The new year isn't just about personal goals, it's about the community, it's about Spirit-filled living. It means that we don't walk alone. The great words in the letter of Hebrews says this in chapter 10. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another toward love and good works, not neglecting to meet with one another, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." Okay? The reality is that the most important mission field might be the one that is sitting across from you at your New Year's gathering. Okay? It might be a niece. It might be a nephew. It might be a neighbor or a friend that does not know Christ. And this is an opportunity to speak life, to share hope, and to point people of Christ. And let's be honest. Holiday conversations can get messy, correct? Correct? Yes. Yes. Because maybe you avoid politics because Uncle Jack and Cousin Jenny don't see eye to eye. Because one believes like I do and the other one's a moron. Maybe Grandma Ruth and Manny have a feud on their own. Friends, it is very easy to tear down. But Paul calls us to build each other up, to encourage, to lift one another up. Let our words be wings, not weapons. Okay? So here's our practical application. Use your words to bless, not to break. Vow to use your words to bless, not to break. Encouraging somebody in their walk with Christ. And make evangelism and discipleship a part of your resolutions. Friends, the cross should be the highest part of our conversations. Let's not just make it about improving ourselves, but investing others and for the sake of Christ. Okay, so let's bring this all together. We're in the calm of the holiday hurricane this morning, and we're looking toward that new year. And what is the challenge that Paul gives us? His challenge really is this for us, is that we need to be filled with the Spirit and not stuffed with self. And we do it three ways. We measure our minutes, not our menu. We know that our time, like our plate, like that Chinette plate, is limited. So we need to steward it wisely. We keep Christ at the center. So before we make those resolutions about our wallets, we make the resolution that Christ is first. And lastly, we lift one another up. It's not about just improving ourselves. It's about investing in others for the sake of Christ. Friends, our plates might be empty, but once again, our choices will echo into eternity. So let's not just set goals. Let's not just make plans, but aim for a better year. Aim for not a full year, but a filled year. A year filled with the Spirit. One that doesn't just change your calendar, but changes your character. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to worship together. And Father, as we know that this 2025 is coming to a close, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. But we also thank you for the new opportunity that 2026 brings to us. And Father, we just ask that you would teach us to number our days, to keep you at the center, and to love others well. Fill us with your Spirit so that this year and every year belong to you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.